Hello, sunshine. It's Thursday, March 20th. Happy Friday, Eve. I'm Coy Wire. Welcome to CNN 10. And speaking of sunshine, today is the March equinox, also known as the vernal equinox in the Northern Hemisphere. The sun crosses the celestial equator, marking the start of spring and roughly equal amounts of daytime and nighttime hours worldwide. So spring has sprung. And now, it's time for your news. In the Middle East, the ceasefire deal between Israel and Hamas has effectively come to an end. This week, Israel launched a series of attacks in Gaza, carrying out what it says were extensive strikes on Hamas targets. Gaza's health ministry says the attacks killed hundreds of people and wounded hundreds more, making Tuesday the deadliest day in Gaza in more than 15 months. The fragile ceasefire deal, which paused fighting in Gaza, lasted nearly 2 months. International mediators like the U.S., Qatar, and Egypt spent months brokering the ceasefire, which was announced on January 15th and came into effect 4 days later. The agreement was structured in phases that paused fighting to allow the release of hostages in Gaza and Palestinian prisoners in Israel. Both Israelis and Palestinians celebrated the bittersweet truce after more than a year of war since the October 7th Hamas attacks on Israel. The ceasefire deal was already on shaky ground. The first phase of the deal ended more than 2 weeks ago. Talks to reach a path forward to release remaining Israeli hostages and reach a permanent peace deal had stalled. A spokesperson for Hamas says the militant group wanted to see the continuation of the ceasefire agreement with Israel and is still in touch with mediators in the wake of renewed fighting. But Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has accused Hamas of refusing to release hostages or accept a U.S. proposal to extend the Gaza ceasefire. Israeli officials said the attacks would continue as long as necessary to complete war objectives like releasing hostages and removing future threats by Hamas from Gaza. Pop quiz hotshot. The first ever computer bug was not software related. So what kind of insect was it? Ant, roach, moth, or fly? The answer is moth. The term computer bug came about when computer scientist Grace Hopper found an actual moth stuck in the Mark II computer in 1947. Thus, the term for fixing computer glitches or debugging was born. In the tech world, artificial intelligence computer chip maker NVIDIA revealed new details about its next AI chip platform. The company says the technology levels up AI computing compatibility beyond chatbot interactions, helping apps to reason and act on a user's behalf. Our Anna Stewart shows us why the announcement at the annual conference for the company comes at a very important time.
Earlier this year, NVIDIA was the most valuable company in the world amidst an AI boom. Its chips have been pivotal to data centers, fueling the likes of Microsoft, Amazon, and Google. NVIDIA's share price, though, lost steam in recent weeks, sparked in part by the release of DeepSeek's latest reasoning model, R1, created in China at a fraction of the cost of comparable models. And really, it raised questions as to whether expensive hardware like NVIDIA's is really necessary. Well, in NVIDIA's annual conference, the CEO was keen to emphasize that the next waves of AI, like agentic or reasoning AI, and the AI to power robots, will open new market opportunities for the company.
The computation requirement, the scaling law of AI, is more resilient and, in fact, hyper-accelerated. The amount of computation we need at this point as a result of agentic AI, as a result of reasoning, is easily 100 times more than we thought we needed this time last year.
Jensen Huang also announced the Blackwell Ultra for the second half of this year. It's an upgraded version of NVIDIA's existing AI chip, which has been in really high demand. And plenty more to come. He teased ahead to even more advanced chips in the pipeline. Next year, a chip called Vera Rubin, named after the astronomer, followed by the Ultra Rubin for 2027. Plenty for investors to mull over.
A conservation comeback worth commemorating. We are seeing a rebound in humpback whale populations, and it is an international ban on commercial whaling that's being credited for it. Humpback whales were nearly hunted to extinction during the 19th and 20th centuries, but today, the whales can be seen gathering off the coast of South Africa in supergroups of hundreds of whales. Watch as one photographer takes us out to sea for a first-hand look.
A light fog hangs over South Africa's scenic Cape Peninsula on an early morning in December. For renowned photographer Chris Fallows and his wife and co-captain Monique, it's a picture-perfect start to the day.
So we're trying to create exceptional images, and this morning we're very lucky. We've got a beautiful scene developing with tablecloth rolling over Table Mountain. First rays of light are just starting to kiss that iconic landmark, and it's looking pretty good. Just need to find the whales now.
They're searching specifically for the playful and acrobatic humpback.
That's a young humpback whale. That's the species we're looking for.
But it's more than one or two they're hoping to find.
So early in the morning, we usually find ones and twos that then lead us to either a feeding area or are part of a structure that actually comes together and forms a supergroup.
A so-called supergroup is when at least 20 individuals, often many more, are feeding close to each other.
So these supergroups of whales have really only been around for probably the last 10 years or so. Before that, they were extremely difficult to find. And in recent times, as their population has started to recover, so we've ever increasingly started seeing big, big groups of these whales, which has been truly incredible. It's one of the great positive news stories on the ocean.
Slowly on this side, next year. Slow down a whisker. Stay neutral.
I would say maybe 70% of my attention is making sure that I'm not going to impact an animal in any way in terms of where the boat is. So I'm extremely aware that is the number one focus when we are out there.
Oh, magic, man. Oh, what a magic one. Obviously, one of my key objectives is to create works of art that are amongst the best in the world, but equally, I think my primary objective is to inspire people, and I think that is a way to connect people with the ocean and hopefully create more ambassadors to make sure that they, like me, love these animals and realize the importance of conserving them.
Oh, that's it. Whoa, that was a good one. That was a really good one.
Their days in the water are also dedicated to collecting data to share with environmental authorities, like the Department of Forest, Fisheries and the Environment.
Yeah, so we're south, 33 degrees.
And capturing photo IDs of individual whales for a conservation project called Happy Whale that helps track their movements non-invasively.
I'll go on the left side, you go on the right side, okay?
Chris has spent the better part of three decades photographing some of the planet's most legendary and imperiled wildlife. But the comeback of the humpbacks paints a different picture.
They are incredibly important animals. And for me, the humpback is really the phoenix that gives all species that have turned to ashes hope that they too could rise again.
Today's story getting a 10 out of 10. People have totally redeemed themselves after giving a poor little fish a glow up. Turns out, when the gelatinous blobfish was declared the world's ugliest animal back in 2013, ouch, it wasn't given a fair shake. The deep sea creature, you see, lives thousands of feet underwater, and it looks a lot less globular down there where water pressure is more than 100 times stronger than the air pressure we experience on land. Now, the blobfish has a new title, Fish of the Year, after voters in New Zealand weighed in as part of a competition bringing awareness to the country's marine life. So next time you're feeling like people are hating on you, hang in there. Anything is possible. Fantastic. Congrats, Blob. All right, it is shout-out time now. We're sending some love to McNeil Middle School in Wichita Falls, Texas, and all our Mustangs, giddy up. And Mount Pisgah and all the Patriots in Johns Creek, Georgia, rise up. We see you, Miss Jardina. Go on out. Make it a great day. I'll be right back here to finish this week strong with you on Friday. I'm Coy Wire, and we are CNN 10.